Okay. First of all, thank you very much for the opportunity to share words of Torah with you. It is certainly a pleasure, and one that hopefully can be enjoyable. The fact that we're learning today in a day where there isn't, I guess, formal scheduled shiurim learning anyway is certainly a very, very beautiful thing. So a little bit of topic that I think is close to my heart, primarily because I think it would have been close to my father's heart, and I'll try to explain why for three reasons. I apologize that elements of the shiur will probably be a bit heavier on introduction, a bit of a longer introduction, but hopefully we'll be able to accomplish a good deal. As my brother said, my father had a very, very close connection to the world of Eretz Yisrael, a person that was so deeply moved by his trips here. It was so important to him, and with such pride. I think he took enormous pride in the fact that at least two of his three children are living here in Eretz Yisrael, and it's something which was, I think, very, you know, important for him. I find amazing imagery in the fact that my son, Chaim, learned with my father often Mishnayos. They were about to finish Maseches Ksuvos when my father got sick and passed away. The last parak they had left was the 13th parak of Ksuvos, which is all about Eretz Yisrael. And in many ways, it like symbolizes for me that of all my father's dreams and ambitions, that last parak of Ksuvos, the world of Eretz Yisrael, was one he was not zocha to move himself. But we say from the Ma'abit and from some others that learning about certain topics is key to a person fulfilled it, and in his life certainly had learned those Mishnayos, and it's an honor for us and many members of his family to be zocha to be in Eretz Yisrael and as a shliach and fulfilling elements of his dreams and ambitions. But the second is as follows. You know, it's an amazing thing. When I was sitting Shiva, had a very moving call from Rabbi Rosenzweig, a very dear Rebbe of mine. So one of the things that Rosenzweig said is, if you want to do something with Eli Nishmaso, so it's nice to think about something which you connect to and something which really would have a particular connection to your father also. Giving Shiurim in the world of Torah, something which he had a very, you know, serious connection with. And I was thinking, so what do you talk about? And one of the beautiful things is, it's a big base medrash here with lots of Sfarim. So many of them, you know, had my father felt a deep connection to. Could have spoken about the Or HaChaim, could have spoken about the Netziv, could have spoken about the Ramban. So many, could have Shlomo Pinchas, or Biederman, I think, even in the, you know, more recently. So many, you know, Sfarim, the world of Mishnah, the world of Mesitta Gemara, it's not to talk about. But my father, towards the end in particular, had been very, very into the Sfarim, the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer, it happens to be, I really had never been that into, I just didn't really have the opportunity to get into it so much. But following his passing, so this year, I've been giving Shiurim on Friday on the thought of the Chasam Sofer as a means of connecting. So speaking about the Chasam Sofer and Eretz Yisrael, I think was something which for me was a nice way of sort of memorializing and talking about him. And for a third reason also, my brother and I had the pleasure of growing up in what I would call a legitimately open-minded home. By that I mean we had in our home newspapers and magazines from across the spectrum of the from world. We grew up in New Rochelle. We grew up with getting Yated in the Jewish Observer and spending time by my grandmother in Lakewood, and also spending time in the world of YU was a world he felt a deep, deep connection to. I was thinking as Pesach concluded, spending time with him, you know, in Katamon and going around in different places in Eretz Yisrael. I remember once at the end of Pesach, looking with him in Mea Shearim for Sudas Mashiach. There's a Chabad there. There's a lot of very powerful experiences. And it was a person that understood that what's primary is Torah, what's primary is Ribono Shel Olam, and not getting too caught up in some of the details sometimes that are out there. And being able to not be blind to differences, but speak with them in a respectful way. So we're talking about Eretz Yisrael, we're talking about Chasam Sofer, we're talking about a little bit of a hot topic. Yom Ha'atzmaut is about a week and a half away, and as many of us know, it's a day which on some level is one in which it's a bit of a divisive day. Depending on where you go, what community you're part of, and where you spend your time, it's observed or not observed in very, very different ways, and it's a kind of day sometimes which can generate a certain kind of discord and a certain sense of divisiveness within the Jewish people. I believe that Rabbi Willard once quoted from Rav Machlis, that it's not coincidental that days like Yom HaShoah, Yom HaAtzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim take place in Sefirah Sa'omer. It's a little bit of a test for us if in the time of the Gemara tells Nivamos, the Tamid Rabbi Akiva passed away because Onagu Kavo Zebazeh, so part of the challenge for us is whether we can go through these days and be Nohek Kavo to other people, whether we can have a Yom Atzma, and even if I do my day, you do your day, it's not the same thing, but the fact that we can do it in a way which is respectful and nice, it's partially a challenge. Have we internalized the message? And have we learned? Are we getting caught up in some of this, the old petty discussions and the like? So to speak about a topic that is for many divisive, but I think a very beautiful topic, to speak about it in one of its contemporary, because I'm so for Eretz Yisrael, it's undoubtedly a wonderful schust. That is the first part of my introduction. I said a little bit longer introduction, a little bit sort of on the shir part. I hope that's okay. But if you're like trying to figure out ratio of introduction to shir, it's going to be off for today, and you can take a deep breath. The second point of introduction, I would say, is more of a fundamental piece. It's one that's going to be very critical for relating the entire world of like contemporary hashkafa and Jewish thought. One of the questions which comes up, I've been struck by this for a long time, is the world of legacy. There are particular people that just matter more. Klal Yisrael has been zocha to have a variety of gedolei olam, but not all gedolei olam have the same kind of impact. And there are particular people in particular worlds that their take, it just matters a bit more. If you grew up in the Maror class community in America, so the Rav of Salvation, what did the Rav think about X or about Y? And sometimes the questions are somewhat almost anachronistic. You're talking about what would he have thought about something which didn't exist in his time. But you want to know who has the ultimate authority. So Salvation, if in it's the only world here in Eretz Yisrael, so Rav Kook is a dominant figure. If I want to know, what would Rav Kook say about, example, you know, you're forming a coalition if your father's really politics, and who can and couldn't be part of that, what would Rav Kook have said? And there are these questions about people that have particular legacies. And unsurprisingly, what you'll often find about people, especially if they passed away a long time ago, are debates over legacies. What would they have said? Who are the true followers of Rav Salvechik? Who are the true followers of Rav Kook? And every tzibur has that. One of the most important achronim a couple hundred years ago was the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer, Moshe Sofer, was the Rav of Pressburg. He was an unbelievable mechanech, a great teacher, head of a yeshiva. He was one of the dominant Baalei Machshava, one of the great Jewish thinkers of that era. He was, continues to be, one of the most influential poskim. The tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer, those are tshuvas, which if learning a topic in the world of halacha, it's a name that comes up a lot, and poskim relate to Chasam Sofers with a degree of reverence. It's the Chasam Sofer that said it. That's a shita which matters. You can't easily dismiss a tshuva of Chasam Sofer. Akideka, the extent to which in contemporary poskim, you have lines like, if the Chasam Sofer is Mekel, you can for sure be Mekel. You know, if you have the role and the impact of Chasam Sofer, it's something which is so critical and so important. So we're going to speak a little bit about a debate relating to the world of Zionism and the way in which people look at the Chasam Sofer. We're going to learn some very beautiful Torah of the Chasam Sofer. We're going to see some Torah which I think is incredibly meaningful. Much of it is relatively well known, some of it less so. And we'll see some things I think are very, very important. Great people also don't always fit into the boxes that we would expect them to fit into. And sometimes people have, you know, unique shitas and particular perspectives where they can broaden us and deepen our appreciation for things. Chasam Sofer is certainly in that category. So we're going to begin with, I guess, probably three elements of the thought of the Chasam Sofer. One a bit briefer, and then two a bit longer. Let's begin. The first is like this. If we have to know something about the world view of the Chasam Sofer often quoted a Mishnah in Orla. The Chasam Sofer was fighting against the world of reform. He was fighting against those that were challenging standard practice and standard minhagim. And the Chasam Sofer often quoted, he had the unique ability to take lines sometimes out of context, but be able to hold that line up as like on a banner, be able to find something, a nice rhetorical flair that the Chasam Sofer was blessed with. Chadash asar min ha-Torah b'chol makom. That line has nothing to do with new innovations. The context has to do with when you're permitted to eat new grain. But chadash asar min ha-Torah, said the Chasam Sofer, chadash min ha-Torah meant that new innovations was something which he very much opposed. He did not oppose Chidushei Torah. He was innovative in the world of Torah. But if you wanted to mess around with the way that things were done, he was very, very nervous. If you wanted to change, as an example, where the Bima in Shul was going to be located, Chadash, Asa min HaTorah, B'chol Makom, and Chuvas, you can't do that. Innovations are not that good at all. He is often held up. We're talking about the spectrum of the Frum world. The Chasam Sofer is often held up as like the purest example of like pure old school Hashkafa. He's fighting against all innovations. He's already many, many innovations. Akedekah, it's an amazing thing. You ever wonder, and this thing is like academics, you professors are into this a little bit, how do you define, so who's considered to be Orthodox, and who's conservative, and who's Reform? Like, how do you do that? So there are academics that suggest the way you do that is, how closely aligned are they to the Chasam Sofer? The more closely aligned you are to the Chasam Sofer, that means you're like really from. And the further away you are from the Chasam Sofer, that becomes like the litmus test for where you are. You have no connection? Okay, so you're all the way. So Chasam Sofer and his Talmidim, the Maram Shik and others, we're dealing with people that fought against new innovations, that fought against some things that we would say were very beautiful as far as progress. Rav Kook had a bit of a different line as far as Asim and HaTorah. He was more open to certain kinds of innovations. But unsurprisingly, Talmidei Chasam Sofer will often say something like Zionism, even though he passed away 200 years ago. And even though he was not alive, obviously, during the time of the founding of the State of Israel. You would have asked Chasam Sofer, you got a new movement, Hungarian Jew. He would have said, of course not, no way whatsoever. And the Chasam Sofer becomes held up as a person that was very, very much of the old school and very hesitant to embrace something like Lechora, something like a Zionist movement. Presumably you would assume, and it's often what is misunderstood to be the case. Nevertheless, people are complex. Sometimes we can make the mistake, it happens sometimes, of a person assumes that those who are less Zionistic or less open to new innovations are less connected to Eretz Yisrael. The Satmar Rebbe, the Divrei Yoel, so he was deeply connected with a wonderful love of Eretz Yisrael. He just thought that the way you love Eretz Yisrael is by fighting against Zionism. It's an odd thing, the way that we'd often assume. Often it's the more connected you are to Eretz Yisrael, the more you're into Zionism. But that wasn't the case. Chasam Sofer has a couple very powerful statements about Eretz Yisrael. I want to learn one of them with you. The comment of the Chasam Sofer is Kiddushim and Shas and Sukkah and Daf Lamed Vav is a world famous piece of Chasam Sofer. Let's learn it together. It's very beautiful. And as the Tzitz Eliezer pointed out in the Tshuva, if it weren't that it was printed in Chasam Sofer, we would have assumed it was never written by Chasam Sofer. We would have assumed it was written from Echad Michove Beit Zion, one of the biggest. He said, Tzitz Eliezer, I'm not even sure the biggest one in the world you would have thought would say what Chasam Sofer says. But here he goes as follows. There is a Gemara in Brachos and Daf Lamed Hayim Aviv. This is a very famous Gemara. It's a Gemara which is so fundamental for the world of Torah and getting a profession. The Gemara there quotes a debate between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai understood a person really can't spend time working, a person can't spend time investing in Parnassa, because, says Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Efsher Adam Choriz B'Shas Harisha, V'Zoreya B'Shas Ria, V'Kotzer B'Shas Ktsira, V'Daf B'Shas Disa, V'Zoreya B'Shas Aruah. If you're always working, you're planting when it makes sense to plant. You're plowing when it makes sense to plow. You are reaping when it makes sense to reap. So says the Chasam, says Shemar Yochai, Torah Matehei Aleha. So what's going to be? When are you going to learn if you spend so much time working in that kind of a way? Says Rabbi Yishmael, no, not at all. The Torah says, V'yasafta diganecha. The Torah says you have to go and reap that which you planted. You have to go and gather from the field that which you invested in there, that which you invested. You have to learn, of course, but we have to balance that learning with having a profession. Balance that learning with having a profession. Okay, that Gemara, unsurprisingly, when people speak about like a Torah-only mindset or going to get a profession, this Gemara becomes one of the starting points, a related Gemara in Menachos and Daf Tzadik Tes. A lot of important Gemaras about this discussion. Comes along the Chasam Sofer, and the Chasam Sofer says something absolutely wild. There is l'chaora nothing in this Gemara about Eretz Yisrael. But the Chasam Sofer finds in this Gemara, he finds in his understanding of Rabbi Yishmael, a yisod gadol in the world of how you relate to to what people are doing here in the land of Israel. It says the Lord as follows. Nira l'mias daiti, I believe the following. Rabbi Yishmael nami lo amar mikra v'yasafta diganecha, ela be'eret Yisrael, v'rov Yisrael shuryin sha'avoda bikarta gufa mitzvah, mishal yisav eret Yisrael. Says Chasam Sofer. Everybody agrees, that a person has to be osek and mitzvos all the time. I want to do as many mitzvahs as I can do. Okay, so learning Torah is called a mitzvah. So what's Rabbi Yishmael's chiddush that you can stop learning to go the asaf the diganecha to gather your stuff? The chiddush is that's also called a mitzvah. What mitzvah is it? Says Chasam Sofer, here's the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. In Chutz La'aretz, everybody says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you're right. In Chutz La'aretz, if a person is not connected to Torah, so a person, it's a chorban, it's a destruction. It's going to all fall apart. But in Eretz Yisrael, when you gather, that's a mitzvah. You gather, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that Mishum Yishav Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah that you're building and taking from the land. And here the language is a wild line. It's a wild line. It's a custom sofer. Let's say a person says, I don't want to. I'd rather learn than go work the land. Let's say you say, I'd rather work the Shalvim, originally, this is one of these interesting asides. It was a lot of the initial Talmidim in Shalvim, many of them I think were Holocaust survivors, many came families that couldn't afford to pay tuition. So when the yeshiva first started, the deal was the kibbutz would fund the yeshiva. But the deal was that during all the Bein Hazmanims, they weren't learning like you are right now. During the Bein Hazmanims, the guys in the yeshiva had to work on the kibbutz. That was how they sort of like earned their way. Akedah Kach, we ever read Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau's memoirs. It's an amazing book to go through. Rabbi Lau, parents passed away in the Holocaust. Rabbi Lau spent some time in Shalvim and Bein Hazmanim going to work as part of the kibbutz. That's what it was. It's a mitzvah. Let's say you say, I don't want to. I'd rather go learn. That's the custom sofer. If you say that, it's ki'ilu tomar lo aniyat tefillin b'nei shani osek b'torah. Pachanami lo yomar lo esof deganei b'nei esek b'torah. He says, same way a person would never say, you have a guy sitting in yeshiva. And you see, it's shachar's time. And he's sitting there at shachar's and he's learning. Okay, it's a beautiful thing, but it's shachar's time. You say, why aren't you putting on tefillin? He says, I'm learning. I'm putting on tefillin. I'm learning. So I would say to the guy, no, tefillin's a mitzvah. You're chayav to do the mitzvah right now. You have to put on tefillin. You cannot learn. That's because I'm so for a guy sitting in the base medrash. And there's grain to be gathered in the field. And you go up to the guy and you say, what are you doing? He says, I'm learning right now. You say, what are you talking about? There's a mitzvah now to go to the field in order to do Yishev Eretz Yisrael. What you see for the Chasam Sofer is that part of the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael is working the land. And he compares it to tefillin. He compares it to the mitzvah of putting on mitzvah tefillin for a guy. It's a mitzvah chiyuvis. He's chayav to do it. It's a mitzvah which a person is obligated to do. And part of it is lehotzi peroseha hakadoshim. The peros of Eretz Yisrael are kadosh. The peros of Eretz Yisrael. A person goes to whatever the supermarket was right here. If you go and you buy an apple that is absolutely no kedusha whatsoever, because all the apples in Eretz Yisrael are imported from Chutz La'aretz, which allows you to have a lot of apples in a shemitah year and no questions at all, because they're all from Chutz La'aretz. Okay, thanks. But a lot of the fruit here is good. You know, a lot of the fruit is very, very nice. It's very, very beautiful. I remember once being with Rosenblum, where Yaakov Ariel came to speak, and we were at one of the lunches by Rabbi Lam. So he said, nah, in Chutz La'aretz they have better payers Eretz Yisrael than they do in Eretz Yisrael. We said that all the good stuff. We don't keep the good stuff here so much. Okay, it's not really true. It's just payers Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, which is found here. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Not only that, but if you look in the Chasam Sofer and Parsha Shoftim, Velo Levada Bodas Karka, Elo Limud Kolam Umnus, Misham Yishim Akav Eretz Yisrael. When a person has a job here in Eretz Yisrael, a person is a doctor in Eretz Yisrael, a person is a lawyer in Eretz Yisrael, that's part of Yishim Eretz Yisrael also. That a person is furthering and strengthening. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. That's undoubtedly what it really is. I'll tell you a beautiful maisa every year in non-COVID times. So I have a Shir Shabbaton, I give Shir at Yeshiva. We have a Shabbaton in Yerushalayim. So the guys who I give Shir to hear me enough. So we try in the Shabbaton to hear from other people. We often hear Shal Shudis For Shabbos lunch, we often go to Rabbi Ari Wasserman. It's an unbelievable meal. He's an amazingly impressive Talmud Chacham, an amazing host of Shabbos meals. He's written a couple of Sfarim about Shabbos tables and Shabbos meals, written a bunch of a lot of things. It's an amazing opportunity. And Shabbos lunch, we often had Michael Eisenberg. Michael Eisenberg is a remarkably impressive person, works in the world of venture capital. He's the person who's written a bunch of Sfarim. Absolutely amazing. So he shared the story, I think, a couple of times with Mashir there. He's publicized the story a bit that he was one time in Gush. He came back during the Bein Hazman, and he came back to Gush, and they were having a question and answer session with the Rami Tal. Rami Tal was the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Har Etzion. His son, Rav Yoel Rami Tal, is a Rebbe in Chalavin for many, many years. So Rami Tal, see, they had a question and answer with him. So my guy said, he raised his hand. He said the following question. Is it more of a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael if I live in the Shomron, if I live in a place far out in the Shtachim, or if I live in Yerushalayim, if I live in Renana? Is there a difference as far as the quality of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael depending on where I live? So Rami Tal responded, I believe the way he said it was, I don't really answer that question. If you want to know the best way to fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, come to Eretz Yisrael and start a business and start a factory and employ 10,000 people here in Eretz Yisrael, that's undoubtedly the greatest key of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Great game. So he joked that in the world of venture capital, you always should sell your companies before they get to 10,000 people. So he's never going to be able to get there. So it's a constant fee to try to build the land without being able to really do it. That's very custom sofer based. That a lot of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael isn't just, it's about payroll Eretz Yisrael, working Eretz Yisrael, strengthening Eretz Yisrael. That's undoubtedly what it is. It's undoubtedly what it is. Not only that, we'll go one step further. There's a chasam sofer from the end of Maseches Chulin, Chulin dot Kuf Mem Beis. Chasam sofer says as follows: If you're into like Roshei Tevos and Sofei Tevos, so we have one for you right now. I don't know if I'm into it, but I'll do my best to sell it. I guess is as follows: How do we praise Eretz Yisrael? We praise Eretz Yisrael Zavas Chalav Mudvash. It's Eretz Zavas Chalav Mudvash. It's a world of beautiful milk and beautiful honey. It's a beautiful place. Says Chasam Sofer, it's undoubtedly true kipshuta. But it means Eretz Yisrael has some good food. It has some beautiful milk, honey. It's really wonderful. But I think there's a remez here also. Chasam Sofer is unique. One reason why it's so important is he wrote about all different levels of Torah. Pshat and remez and drush. Drush Chasam Sofer is a beautiful set of smart, amazing stuff. As follows. If you go and a person goes and they're eating from the peros of Eretz Yisrael, so eating, when we say you are what you eat, that's what this is. When a person eats the kedusha, the peros of Eretz Yisrael, it's amazing. It's molidin kedusha banefesh. A person feels more kadosh and it's Mosif Ahava Vidvekas Bashem. A person loves their bonus shalom more if you have good mango in Eretz Yisrael. Does it? Totally does it. Blueberries, pineapple. It's amazing. Clementines. It's mentioned in the tweet that I like, get my weather in. These things that it's an amazing thing. It's Mosif, wonderful Kedusha. He says, Zavas Chalav Udvash is Sofei Tevos Shabbos. It's Sofei Tevos Shabbos. Why is it Sofei Tevos? The last letter of each word spells the word Shabbos. Ki b'chol ma'achal ma'achalim kedusha k'mosu the Shabbos aderach she'amru al hillel koyam of achal l'chavot Shabbos. Because there's something, says Chasam Sofer, there's something the same way as Shabbos meals. A person eats on Shabbos. It looks like my brother quote before from Rashi and Beitza. It looks like it's just a meal of materialism. I'm just having some good gashmias. But not if you really know what's going on. It's a meal where it's instilling kedusha in a person. It's like holiness, and a person goes to Makola, custom sofa, it's the simplest thing in the world. I walk outside, and I go right next door to the supermarket, and I go and I buy fruit of Eretz Yisrael, eat fruit of Eretz Yisrael. It's Mosif, Avas Hashem, Devekas in Rebbeinu Sha'olam, Kedusha in yourself. It's an unbelievable thing. It's an unbelievable thing. Given these custom sofas, unsurprisingly, there are many that quote these. You want to know. So the Chasam Sofer on the one hand is the Chasam in a Torah person. Chasam Sofer on the one hand is this guy who's none of these new innovations. None of it's okay. What you want to know is take on Eretz Yisrael, so elements of his take on Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Lezer Melamed, wasn't familiar with the Sfar of Pini Halakha. I imagine they may be in the room somewhere. Pini Halakha, Rav Melamed, it says, I think that like we're the bigger followers of the Chasam Sofer. We're the ones that spend time building Eretz Yisrael. We're the ones that think the Peirut Rezal Kedusha. We're the ones that, and it's so extreme that like we really think that working the land, it's a chiyuv, it's a mitzvah. Not, says some of the Achronim, a hechsher mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah so that. It is a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah. It's something which is remarkably, remarkably special. To build it a little bit. Rav Menashe Klein, the Mishnah Halachos. Rav Menashe Klein was the Umvara. I believe our family goes back, grandma's family comes from Umvara, I think. It was Satmar Umvara. This is like real Satmar Umvara. Rav Menashe Klein. I remember once I was even bumped up to business class flying to Eretz Yisrael. It was very, very good. And across the aisle from me was Rav Menashe Klein. He was in his 90s, one of the greatest poskim in the Hasidic world. One of the greatest poskim. Some wild chumras. He's a really interesting kind of a posek. Then the second we got off the plane, I don't know how they got this already, but the second we, it was like the front paparazzi, you know, like they were waiting there with pictures. So like in the Hasidic magazine, just like me walking off the plane, you know, in the back, and like trying to like, you know, get in there. Rav Menashe Klein, it was a big. So Rav Menashe Klein points out, based on Chasam Sofer, even if you're in Eretz Yisrael for a little bit, you're in Eretz Yisrael for a year, you're in Eretz Yisrael for a bit, that's also a kiyum of mitzvah, yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That's also something. Because we're building land, we're strengthening things. It's amazing. That's what Melamed, I think we're the real followers. If anyone's familiar with the Sefer, Eim HaBanim Smecha. Eim HaBanim Smecha, Rav Teichtel, had originally been an anti-Zionist. He then went through the Holocaust. Had a bit of a shift, became more Rav Sefer, describing a shift toward that. Quotes Chasam Sofer also, because it's a beautiful Chasam Sofer about the power of what it is. There's mixed messages, you know, where it's at. For Melamed, I think we're really the real followers of Chasam Sofer. There's one more piece that we'll try to talk about, which I think is very powerful and very, very beautiful. On the one hand, if a person's thinking about what makes someone a Zionist or not a Zionist, so one question is open to what appears to be a little bit of a new movement. Maybe you would say it's not a new movement, Jews have always lived after Israel, but there are elements of Chiddush undoubtedly here. And that's one piece of it. It's why I've been in the community of Sofer, you know, we're not really there. It has to also with the openness towards interacting with non-firm Jews. Chasam Sofer had a bit of a different perspective than Rav Cook did on that. The world of Eretz Yisrael maybe shifts you in a different direction. Here's a third question. There are many questions that impact where you fall on the Zionism, non-Zionism spectrum. Here's a really, I think, fundamental question. How do you relate to the world of redemption and the world of Geula? Here you find something interesting. None of these waters are. Is this from you, think?
We're related, it doesn't matter.
I don't know if it's from you, not if it's from like whoever spoke here for Pesach.
Is it really more?
Is that okay? I'm not like, it's COVID, I wasn't really like so. You know what, we'll share my lessons with the Germans at a different time, but you guys may be a family, but I'm not yet part of the family, so we'll keep that for a family moment, I guess, my own relationship to these things. Okay. Chazal describe two kinds of redemption that take place. One kind of redemption is what you would call an automatic redemption. It's like Yeshua Hashem Karev Ayin. There's Galus, and the next thing you know, like, right away there's Geula. Right away there's Geula. Some of us are aware of a different model of redemption. The different model of redemption is the model of redemption called, what the Yerushalmi refers to as a Geula of Kimba Kimba. A little bit, thank you very, very much. That's great. There's a geula of kima kima. What's a geula of kima kima? Like a slow and gradual kind of a geula. It's a geula which doesn't go like this or like that, but it's a geula which has some of its ups and downs. Amongst Gedolei Yisrael, there were two different kinds, there were two different views in the way that Geula is really supposed to look. There are two different views in the way Geula is supposed to look. Is Geula supposed to be automatic, Yeshua Hashem Keheret Ayin? If you think about the Satmar Rebbe is in that camp a little bit. We're not a slow building of the land, we're not trying to actively take over. It's Yeshua Hashem, which comes automatically. A person's in Gullus, turn on the news, now we're all good, Mashiach came, we're out, we're entirely ready to go. There is a second mahalach of Geula, a mahalach of Geula which understands that Geula takes place as part of a process. It's a process with ups and downs, it's a process that can go in different directions. It's a Geula of Kima, or a Geula of Ischalta de Geula, or a Geula maybe of like an Ikhvas of the Mashiach type, or probably less so, or a Geula of Rashis Tzmichas Geula Seinu. It's a Geula of a process and a certain kind of Geula. That's a very fundamental question and a very fundamental machlokas. Those of us, people that thought it's supposed to go very quick from nothing to something, have had a very hard time historically, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, and suddenly things look like they're going up and down and you're stuck a little bit, because I thought it was supposed to be all good, and now that it's, we're going down, we're going up, what exactly is happening? Rav Kook, the world of Rav Kook, thought that Geula, this last stage of Geula, is a slow building process. We've been in Eretz Yisrael for a while, state that founded in 1948, but now it's still, you know, we're moving somewhere, there's progress, but there are ups and there are downs and there are challenges and things that aren't as ideal. And no one's delusional to say that it's the best, but it's a slow build of a process. It's a slow kind of a process. What does the Chassam Sofer think about this question? So this is a wild Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer in Parsha Shoftim and the Haftorah in Parsha Shoftim. It's an amazing Chassam Sofer. Says Chassam Sofer like this. I'm sorry, you don't have the sheet. I apologize. It's number 14 on my sheets. Says Chassam Sofer, we could have had an imperfect geula already. We could have had times where we have a geula which wasn't complete. We could have had peace with our neighbor. We could have done all that stuff. Or we could have even had a geula, which is a geula like the geula of Bayis Sheni. And the geula of Bayis Sheni was an imperfect kind of a geula. The Gemara in Yuma describes, maybe there wasn't even an Aron in that Beis HaMikdash, in Aron, in Bayis Sheni. It wasn't that great, and we could do it. But, Aval Ein Chafetz Bazeh. This is not what we want. The wild line. Kim Gam Anachnu Efshar Shadis Pasher, Wunikabal Ke'ula Kazeh, Rak Liyos Ge'ulim. If we had the opportunity to have this partial kind of a Ge'ula, wouldn't want it. You know why? We call Makom Avosenu HaKadoshim Lo Yisrat Su'ata Kiyim B'Geula Shlema V'Tovli Yisrael. Wild line. V'Tovli Yisrael. It'd be better for the Jewish people. Lispol Oret HaGolos. To suffer through a long exile. Kadesh Atiyah B'Sof Geula Shlema. I'd rather hold out and wait for the Geula Shlema than have these like tier 2 kind of a Geula. This tier 2 kind of geula. This is a Chassam Sofer, which is very much in the camp of Divrei Yoel. It's very much in the camp of, like, I'm not looking for these partial things. Partial things, we've tried our partial track. Give me everything or that's it. Give me everything or that's it. It's a fundamental question. A fundamental question. How you look at Gullus. I look at Gullus. We're waiting. And I'm not as interested as Chassam Sofer in a quick fix in that kind of a way. In Drusho's Chassam Sofer, you have a bit of a different discussion. There he gives a very powerful mashal. We think for about 8 more minutes, because it's helpful for anyone to like orient themselves for how long, like mentally. About 8 more minutes. I apologize in the beginning exactly how long, but I think you can clock. 8 more minutes. We know that. Revire, I think he's to say that by Joseph Lichtstein, who is not the tallest of people, would get up and he would joke, he'd say, don't worry everyone, I'm a short speaker. Spoke for a very long time. But that was like his short. Sure. Bless me. Uvivara in his hate day, Ezra Shemi Sparth Emshal Mashal. I'll tell you a mashal. You have a king that threw his kids away, from the capital, from the palace. And they were going from place to place. And when the king threw out his children, when the king threw out those people that had been close to him, they suffered tremendously. And they're suffering and they're having a very, very hard time. Eventually, after suffering so much, the king, he lightens up a little bit. So the king says, the king sends to the people, Shalach Lehem Bali Malachos, he sends them builders. They said, listen, you're not coming back here, but over there, I want you to have a better life. I want to build a nice palace for you over there where you are, that you shouldn't suffer anymore. Bishop Lehem Mamon Rav, he sends them lots of money, lots of funds. Let's have a nice life over there. Have a nice life over there. The Banim Hamaskilim, the ones who were wise, says Chasam Sofer, viewed this as being tragic. They viewed it as being tragic. The ones that weren't so wise said, this is unbelievable. We've been suffering for so long, thrown out from the king. We finally have a palace where we are. It's finally okay. But the Banim Hamaskilim said, there's something terrible about this. Because so long as we were suffering from place to place, so long as we were going from here to there, but we knew there was a chance. It was all temporary. None of it was permanent. And we knew that the king maybe will call us back, will call us back. But now that he's sending to us Baalei Malachos, now that he's sending to us people to go build a home for us, build a palace for us here, so it's true, says Hassam, says the Banim, the wise children. It's true we're going to have an easier life right now. But Lola Zakivino, it's not what we waited for. It's not what we wanted. I want to go back to the king. I don't want to be stuck. I don't want to be stuck over there. It looks beautiful. It looks nice. It looks more secure. It looks like it can provide a degree of serenity, a degree of calm. But none of this is what we want. None of this is what we want. Says Chasam Sofer, there's an element of that in Galus also. I'm in the Galus also. I don't know. You know, we're not playing games of who's the real follower of Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer was a person who expressed intense opposition to certain kinds of movements, intense, very focused on boundaries between those that were from, those that weren't from. He was a person that also believed in the importance of building Eretz Yisrael, the importance of cultivating a relationship with the land of Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha of the Peros of Eretz Yisrael. But the Chasam Sofer at its core, aside from all of the issues and all of the questions of where a person falls out on all of these, on all of these shilas, it's going to be a busy time of a Yom HaShoah and a Yom HaTzmud and Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaShalayim as we go through a beautiful Kaisman, a beautiful time. On some level, it's important to remember this mashal of the Chasam Sofer. It's all great, but it ain't Geula Shleima. It's all great, but it's not what we're searching for. It's all great, and certain things are worthy of taking pride. But as long as we're not there, all the way, we're not fully rejoicing. And a person who's sitting in Galus has a wonderful life in Galus. It can look like it's so great. Your Baruch Shalom gave you such wonderful things to build there. But it's really not the ultimate destination. It's really not the ultimate place that we're striving to be. And to remember that is something to think at its core is what it's really all about. My father had this unbelievable ability. To very much on the one hand live in the moment, but be able to appreciate what was in front of him. Spend time with grandchildren was the most beautiful thing in the world. Spend time with his with my mother. Was the most beautiful thing in the world. He was able to appreciate that. We joked a lot during the Shivan afterwards, and my parents would always go together to any like stam thing. They would go to the pharmacy to get, you know, they would go together to the pharmacy to get whatever they were doing, shop together, everything was together. He understood in a very real way the beauty of what's in front of him. At the same time, I think he, and this is part of the Eretz Yisrael piece, I think there was always this pull inside. This pull inside, which is why I think there's always this quest for new Sfarim and new Torah and new thinkers. There's always this quest for, but there's something in addition. There's something more that we're waiting for, something more that we can do. To live a life where you can rejoice and take pride in all that you have, but to feel that it's been great and it's awesome, but there's a little bit more that I'm searching for. And that, in many ways, is the story of Galus and Geula. It's the ability to say, it's been a wonderful year. I've done great things. I've really been able to accomplish a lot under incredibly trying circumstances. But in a day or two, I'm starting another Zman here. In a day or two, I'm starting my final last push. And it's a time to say, internally feeling, there's something more that I'm searching for, something more that I'm hoping for. I really so much appreciate the opportunity to be able to share words of Torah with you today. I really appreciate it so much. It's so meaningful. It's so meaningful. And hopefully, it's one of the, I get emotional. I do get emotional. I get emotional all the time. I cry at like YouTube commercials. I really like that. I really, really do. I used to hide it a little bit. But I know when I was in camp as a kid, like they were making napkins sometimes, and I'd be like crying about like laundry pickup on Tuesday. You know what I'm like? You know, like, okay, I've been wearing the same socks for 3 weeks. It's an emotional time. We all get emotional, but part of the greatness, I really think, of being able to carry on elements of my father was, on the one hand, having very clear values, but also to live in many ways in with a constant search for Kiddush, be able to live with a constant search of new, and to be able to learn Torah. My father would often listen to my shiurim, and when he would, I would often get voice notes from him or messages from him like, "That was the most incredible shiur I've ever heard in my entire life," things like that. I used to joke with my wife that my father, I think, would have passed the polygraph, you know, on those comments. It was a terrible shiur. You know, I was like that was not a good, it wasn't good, the delivery was off. It was on the fourth part in the 5-part series of Pidyon Meiser Sheni. You know, this is not like, my father was like, that was just, it was the best. I've never heard a shiur that well, you know, in Thailand. And one of the challenging things over the last year is delivering shiurim and not getting those messages. At the same time, there's a very, I would say, deep awareness of the fact that they're still there, and that sometimes a person is blessed with the power and the strength of knowing, as Chazal say sometimes, you know, if the dibor of their bonus olam is standing, it's present, that there are certain comments that you know still would be there. And the opportunity to give a shiur, which I think he would have enjoyed, and I think he would have liked, is an amazing opportunity, and hopefully the Torah should be Ilan Ishmaso. Thank you very, very much. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the day.